Well, praise God. I'm able to come tonight and do this. Appreciate all your prayers and sustenance through all these months and weeks, and especially this last week and time of preparation and everything. So I'm just thrilled to be able to come and bring the message tonight. So with that, let's go ahead and turn in the Bibles, if you would, to Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. And let me start with a word of prayer here. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for this evening time around your table, that we can remember the Lord Jesus, and that we can remember his sacrifice for us, and that we can remember his love for us, and how we are to love him. We thank you that you bring your word, and your word is truth, and in there we can find all we need for living the Christian life and being mature in Christ. And we thank you again for this evening and for your word. And please open your word to us tonight that we might understand more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, looking at verse 26 and get right to it. Paul in Colossians 1 tells us that there was a mystery hidden for the ages and generations, but is now revealed to God's saints. So in verse 26 there it says, in 27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it doesn't say anything about this mystery still being not revealed. It is revealed. It is Christ in us. That is the hope of glory, and that is the mystery from the ages. Christ in us is a truly great mystery. We cannot even understand the process that takes place as Christ comes into us. It's a mysterious process. It's Christ in us. But we do know that it happens the moment that we are truly saved. We know that we are born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creatures in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Paul also says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the mystery of Christ in us occurs automatically at the time that we are saved. The moment we're truly saved, Christ enters us. And it is a work of God alone, through his work of faith in us, not of works of ours in any way. We're also aware that we have a major change of heart toward God at this time. And that change of heart now must be worked with, and it must be grown. Now, interestingly enough, on the side here, I know that I had some ideas for what I'm saying tonight several weeks, months ago, and it's a lot of it is overlap with what Pastor Will said this morning. So, and I know he didn't know what I was going to say, so we'll have hopefully complimentary messages, somewhat. Anyway, as Paul says in our Colossians passage here, verses 28 and 29, he wants to present everyone mature in Christ. But of course, presenting everyone mature in Christ is not automatic. This is a struggle. as he says in verse 29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Maturity in Christ involves a struggle, but note that Paul says it's not his struggle, it's not Paul's struggle. He struggles through the energy of Christ, through the power of God that is working within him. But nonetheless, there's a lot involved in this maturity in Christ. It involves putting off old behaviors and putting off new behaviors, as was brought out this morning. There's a very good list here, actually, in Colossians of behaviors we are to put to death. And beginning in verse 5 of chapter 3, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry," and on, all of the things necessary to be put off. And then another list, beginning in verse 12, of things to put on. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience," etc. Then these are followed by sets of rules for Christian households in the final verses of Colossians chapter 3. Now, in addition to behavioral changes, like in this chapter, that need to be made in the pursuit of maturity in Christ, we now have the power within us to consider ourselves dead to sin as well, now that Christ is in us. And Romans 6:14-15, Paul says there, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means." So we're under grace, not under the law, but it doesn't give us license to sin, is what he's saying here. But even though, here's the difficulty possibly, even though we are under grace, when it comes to Christian maturity and ridding ourselves of sin, we many times do turn God's New Testament commands into law. Anytime we try to do these things in our own strength alone, then they become burdensome works, and it becomes like Old Testament law. And it can result in a heavy guilt and huge feelings of guilt because we can't do these things and not able to accomplish them in our strength. Again, here in Colossians, Paul says in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, he says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So as we received Christ through faith, not through works. And if we are to walk in him, we walk in him through grace and in his power, in faith, not in works. And rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, and abounding in thanksgiving. So in accomplishing our efforts at maturity in Christ, we are to be thankful and through full of thanksgiving and to walk in faith in that process. Because if not done through the grace and power of God working these changes in us, the process becomes one of works, and New Testament commands become New Testament law. The New Testament commands are to be obeyed. They are our guide to greater maturity in Christ. But if we begin to see them as new law of the New Testament, trying to conform to them in our own strength, we will fail and are apt to gain more of a sense of guilt and failure in our Christian walk than one of blessing and thanksgiving, which is what we want to have. So in what way Can we change this process of putting off the old and putting on the new, of becoming more mature in Christ, who is in us, change that to one of grace through faith, rather than one of law through our own self-effort? We want to walk by faith through grace, not through works. Well, in thinking about this, I hearken back to thinking of the greatest commandment. What, and it's the, since we're to do these commandments through faith, what is the greatest commandment? Well, it is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind, from Matthew 24:37. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind is the greatest commandment. Now, how do we take the word love here? I think that's the important point. How do we take the word love in this commandment? Well, I think it best to take it in every possible way. Every possible way there is to love the Lord, including deep affection. Consider tonight that the way to open the door to more grace to obey God through faith is simply by loving Him more. If we can only grasp more and more onto this great mystery of Christ within us, freely given to us, and love Him for more and more for what He has done and is doing in us, then I believe we can live through this process more by faith and less by works. Because John says in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Well, commands done in our own flesh power, our own feeble flesh power, and our own strength is works, and it is like a burdensome law of the Old Testament. It is burdensome if done in our own strength. Commands and obedience done through faith from the grace that comes from our love for God brings blessing and joy and thanksgiving. Just think, every day we can thank God. We can thank Him and we can love Him for this great mystery of Christ within us. We can thank Him and love Him and His Holy Spirit constantly abide with us and in us, and we can abide in Him and with Him all the time, every day, through our love for Him. Loving Him all day and just loving being with Him, abiding with Him, is something to grasp onto, how to love Him more each day, more of each day. We can thank Him and love Him for His mercy, that when we do sin and confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. This is a thankfulness and a reason to love God. We can thank Him and love Him for His work on the cross on our behalf, and that therefore, because of His work on the cross, there is therefore absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, no guilt. So we can look at our own lives, but we can look at the same time at Him on the cross and our forgiveness and the fact that regardless of the failure in our life, we have no condemnation if we are in Him and He is in us. And we can love Him for that and show love. We can thank and love Him for being available to our prayers at any and all times. We can thank Him and love Him that we have access to His Word at any time, and that His Word is true and faithful. And the more we take from the Word in actual love for His Word, the more we allow Him to use His Word in our lives through His grace, through faith, to conform us to Christ in us and to conform us to obedience to His commands. And His commands, if we love Him and we love His Word and we foster this love for God and love for His Word, His commands actually become more pleasant to us. And we even come to love Him more from the understanding of His Word and the love that is shown to us through His Word. So, the message tonight is, may we all love God more, and then, through the love of God, grow in our faith and grow in the power of His grace towards more maturity to conform to the image of Christ in us. Let's pray. We thank You, Father, for Your love for us, that You loved us first, and that You have given us Your Word, and that in Your Word is love. I pray that the more we learn to love You, the more faith and grace You will give us to love You more and obey You more, and to conform to Your commands, and to live the pleasant life that is in conformity with Christ and more in His image. We thank You that You died on the cross to make all this possible, and that we can love You for that, love You for the act of mercy, the act of forgiveness, the act of forgiveness that has forgiven us our sin. Therefore, there's no condemnation in You any longer. And we can rest in that, and we can love You for that also. In Jesus' name, amen.